became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus Messiah. Name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel. The ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel. From heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our heart is in you, all our heart is in you, all the glory to you, God, the light of the sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all. The Lord of all.
Amen. Beautiful. Good morning. Jesus is our Messiah, our Lord and our Savior, and we're here to celebrate him. So welcome, another beautiful morning after the snow on Friday, to just beautiful days. So praise the Lord. Welcome to worship service today. Some announcements that I need to go over. As usual, we do have communion today, as you can see. And as I think all know pretty much that are here, we have open communion, and we hope that you will partake of that when the time comes. I was asked to announce about the Women of the Church, their Christmas program tomorrow evening here at 6:30. There's a sign-up sheet in the narthex there that they need to know how many to set up for. So please, ladies, your girls, daughters can come and just enjoy the time together. All right, so don't forget to sign up there. Otherwise, I want to mention the farewell reception for Pastor Teresa Jacobson and Tom, Pastor Tom, her husband. That's this afternoon. It is at Grace Lutheran in their social hall from 2 to 4 o'clock. There was a little mix-up a week ago in the Courier. Some thought maybe it was at the Stone Church, but it's here in town. They've been here 10 years, and I have to say it's been a joy to work with them during that time, and we'll certainly miss them and their family as they are moving to Ohio after Christmas. So be praying for them as well. Lots of other announcements, but that's, I think, all I have as far as program practice. I'll mention that. That will be in the morning next Sunday at, I'm not sure where Katie's at here, but 9 o'clock, is that correct? 9 o'clock next Sunday morning, so we can do that before church. All right? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. Our God and our Father, the Ancient of Days, you are the giver of all, you are the giver of life. Thank you for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. We sing that chorus sometimes, Light of the World, that's you, Jesus. You stepped down into darkness, and you did. You did it for us. You took on human flesh to come and live on this earth and to die in our place. And we are forever grateful. You clothed yourself in frail humanity, and you went through and endured everything we do. The word says you were tempted in every way just as we are, yet you are without sin. And how incredible that is. And so, Lord, we thank you for this another Sunday morning to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you, to come to the table that you have prepared for us during this Advent season, a season of excitement and great joy. And we love you with all of our heart, spirit, soul, and body. So thank you for moving among us here, filling this sanctuary with your goodness and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Hunter Yostin and Brockton Kasurik are going to do our Advent reading this morning. And these are the eighth graders, eighth grade confirmation students that are helping with this. Okay, there you go.
We gather around the Advent wreath today knowing that we are not perfect, knowing that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Jesus, the light of the world, he is shining in his dark world, showing us the way of the Father, showing us the way to heaven.
Our scripture reading today will be from Prophet Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Surely the day is coming. It will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubbled, and that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but for you will revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, and will rise the healing in its wings.
We light this third Advent candle as a symbol of Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the light. We are excited about his second coming. We say in agreement with his word, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Let us bow our heads in prayer. As we gather to worship you, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would move in our hearts and lives today by your Spirit. Let us never say with the scoffers, where is this? The promise of his coming. But help us to be a people prepared and ready for the second coming of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. You can go back and... Okay. Our opening hymn, number 278. Let's stand together as we sing this. Angels, we have heard on high. 278. Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, And the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Beautiful singing. Take a moment, greet those around you, please, before you are seated.
Good morning.
Morning. Okay, we'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning, again on a beautiful day. Just some things here. Kayleen Eisenbry was in the bulletin last Sunday, but she is scheduled for surgery tomorrow on her kidney. There's a tumor in the kidney. They're not 100% sure if they have to remove it or not. They'll know when they get in there, so be praying for her. Also, this one on the prayer chain, Dylan Hofer, his 8-year-old boy, a grandson of Jim and Deb Christensen, and they found a rare sarcoma on his arm here recently. And he had broken that arm about 4 years ago, and somewhere after that, this developed. So be praying for them, certainly. Also, Calvin Hagee, he moved into our care center here on Thursday of this week, so be praying for him as he moves through this transition time. Wanted to mention, Kevin and Ashley Holsworth, Kevin's grandma, Audrey Holupka. Am I saying that right? Close enough? Okay, she was 88 and she passed away a week ago today, I think. And her funeral will be this coming Saturday in Tyndall at St. John's Lutheran Church, 10 o'clock down there. Also, Logan Schmidt was able to give his first communication to mom and dad this week. Praise the Lord. They do have an address. We're not going to publish it. If you think you'd like to send them a card or something, then talk to Barry or Deb first about that, okay? And continue praying for him. He's at the Navy up at Great Lakes, Illinois, basic training up there. Most of you probably know our nephew did. Pass away. So on Tuesday, they had taken him off life support Monday evening, and then Tuesday morning he passed. So with no funeral plans yet, we just don't know about that. But thanks for your prayers and cards. So also, for Kentucky and Tennessee, certainly the tornadoes that went through there and caused such devastation, a lot of lives that were lost there too. Anything else? Lane. Last Wednesday was Barry Schmidt's birthday. Happy birthday to you, Barry. God bless you. Okay, anybody else over here? Brian? Yes, Brian and Jesse had anniversary on the 8th, wasn't it? Happy anniversary to you guys. Melanie. Jai Walter's birthday is Tuesday. All right. Happy birthday, Jai. Okay, over here. Cindy. Joanna Fergan's birthday is Thursday. Happy birthday to her. And Lonnie. Kyle's birthday is today. Kyle Stepanik. Happy birthday, Kyle. All right. Okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you and we love you and we thank you for this time, for the birthdays here mentioned. Bless each one. Lord, we thank you for their lives, for the anniversaries, Brian and Jesse's and others probably coming in this month. We thank you for them and their lives together and the families that you have blessed them with. Lord, we do want to pray for these states, Kentucky and Tennessee and that part of our country, and for all those that suffered loss of property and business and life, Lord. Just be with them through this time as they go through the recovery process. Thank you for, I know, Franklin Graham and the Samaritan Purse. That ministry is already on the ground ministering spiritually and physically to the needs of the people. And be with them and the Red Cross and other groups that come in to help. We thank you, Lord, for Kayleen Eisenbrough as we lift her up to you and the surgery that she has tomorrow with the kidney, if it's removal or whatever it ends up being. Thank you for giving the surgeon great wisdom and let him be led by your Spirit in the decisions once they get in there. We pray for Kayleen today and through this night, and thank you for your peace guarding her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus. For Dylan Hofer, this 8-year-old boy with a sarcoma, a very rare cancer there, and we lift up his parents and grandparents and the family and pray for good communication with Mayo Clinic and all the decisions that are to be made. Thank you for carrying them through what lies ahead. For Calvin, as he transitions into our care center, Lord, and he told me he is the last living founding member of the board on that care center, and so now he gets to enjoy it himself after 50 years later. And bless him and all who live there, all who work there. Lord, we're grateful for that facility in our community and the service it provides. For the Holsworth family, the passing of Audrey, thank you for comforting them. For our family, especially Jean and Sue, the parents of Aaron and his siblings there in Arizona, we thank you for ministering to them and drawing them close to yourself. We think about Logan Schmidt. Thank you for watching over him there in basic training and all the others that are with him. And we pray for all of our service, men and women around in our own nation and around the world as we come to this Christmas season, and especially those that aren't able to be with their families and the challenge that is. But you are greater than all. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for our nation, Father, for working in this nation by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Let's stand and we'll sing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Father, we do praise you. So we bring our offerings, our tithes into your storehouse, as you instructed us to do through the prophet Malachi way back in the Old Testament. You instructed us to do that. And so we do with joyful hearts and by faith, and thanking you for your goodness in our lives in so many, many ways, Father. As always, we ask you to take and multiply these gifts for the work of your kingdom, that all may hear and know, Jesus, that you are Lord of all. That all may hear and know that there is no other name under heaven given to men whereby we must be saved. And that is your word. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. The children want to come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you?
Hi.
Good. It's good to see everybody up here. Wow, there's lots of you. Just sit down. There's a place. There's a place. Well, we've been talking all about Christmas and about everything that's happening and happens. And last week we were talking about our Advent wreath. Remember, there's two things that we celebrate and one we look forward to with a Christmas season. What do we celebrate on Christmas Day? Jesus is being born. And what's the other thing that we look forward to?
Gets presents.
That's right. Do you know, Aria? I don't know.
Pick up the star and put up the Christmas.
Yeah, do all those Christmas things, right? Jesus' birthday is the first thing, yes. And the second thing is, Savannah. Jesus coming back again. It's okay, she can stand here. Jesus coming back again, remember? We're looking forward to him coming back and taking us to heaven with him. And wow, that will be so exciting. Well, you know, today the third candle on our Advent wreath stands for joy. Now, before we talk about joy, we got to talk about the opposite of it. Have you ever been sad or had anything really bad happen? Like what? Anybody want to share something that's really sad that happened or... Heart, hard. One of your cats died. Yep, that's really sad. And a calf, too. That couldn't get milk from its mom and had a broken leg. and you had to shoot him. That's very sad. That's very sad that you had to do that, right? I probably would have cried. Anybody else have something really sad happen? Like, did you have anybody, like a grandma die or anything? Or something like your toy broke? Or you didn't have a friend someday? Or your great-grandma and grandpa died? Something sad. Like maybe you didn't get to go to school for a week and a half, right? Was that a little sad? That would be awesome. Mrs. Stepanik was sick, and she couldn't come to school, right? Yeah. Yeah, lots of things. I know, for a whole day, for several days, right? Yeah. Okay, one more. Something sad? Your dog and cat died. We all have things in our life that something sad that happens to us. And you know what? Today we're going to talk about, really quickly, who are these? Who is this? This is a shepherd, right? A shepherd. And the shepherd takes care of the sheep. And you know, back in Jesus' day, shepherds, they were really dirty because they lived out with the sheep and they had to watch them all the time. And some people didn't even like to be around the shepherds. They thought they are really, they're just kind of probably like sometimes we think of people that live on the streets or something. And just, yeah, we have those in just a second, okay? Yeah, we're going to have those. Shepherds were looked down on. They were probably really sad and they had really hard things happening to their life. But do you know what it tells us in the Bible here in Luke? And there were shepherds in chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this. It's so cool what God does. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching their sheep. And an angel of the Lord, you guys, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Glory to God." The glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were scared because, you know, they never, like, saw an angel before in the sky, big. And talking to them, and the angel said, "Don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Good news. That will be a great joy for all the people." And what did the angel tell them? Who was born? Jesus. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this is how you will know this is true. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then it goes on to tell us a great bunch of angels were singing glory to God in the highest. And you know what these shepherds did? Well, they didn't just stand there. They ran down to where? To Bethlehem. And they came to the place where Mary and Joseph were and Jesus. And they saw him. And they were so excited because finally, God is sending the Messiah, Jesus. And he is going to save us and help us. And it said they had great joy. They had great joy. And you know what they did? They went and told everybody around about that. Yeah. They did. And it was so awesome because they spread the word. And that's what we do today. Okay? Yeah. So even though we have sad things that happen in our lives, we have joy because Jesus is in our hearts, right? Okay, let's pray, and then when we're done, we have a candy cane to give all of you to remind you that God talked to the shepherds first about Jesus. Okay, Johnny's going to help me pass those out. All right, let's fold our hands, close our eyes. Father, we love you so much, and we're so grateful that you sent Jesus, and we're so grateful, too, that you chose the shepherds. Those that were hurting and sad maybe and just by themselves a lot of the time, you picked them to be the first to tell about your son being born. And that brought them joy, and it brings us joy. Bless these boys and girls. We are just so excited about them and their excitement for you. Wherever they go, help them to share the joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to be in 2 Peter this morning. chapter 3 once the children get back to their seats. Thank the Lord for the children, beautiful children that He has blessed us with here in this church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for the little ones. You said, let the little ones come unto You and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And so we do thank You for all of them, the joy and excitement in their lives. Father, we thank You also for Your word. Your word gives us great joy and excitement and guidance and direction, instruction for our lives and for Your second coming that we greatly anticipate. So, Father, as we look into it today, I ask again that You'd speak through me by Your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to all who are gathered here. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, before I start reading, let me just say the last two Sundays, most of you have been here, but we've been in Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25, which was called the Olivet Discourse. It's on the Tuesday before the cross. Jesus is sitting there with His disciples, teaching them, and they asked Him this question, when will this happen, and what will be the sign of Your coming and of the end of the age? So they ask that question, and that's when He goes into it. Matthew 24, 25, in those chapters, four times in chapter 24, once in 25, for sure once in 25, He tells them and He tells us, you are not going to know the day or the hour of My return. So be ready, watch and be ready. So let's start here. Chapter 3, 2 Peter, verses 1 through 10. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming?" He promised. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and with water. By water also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Amen. All right, let's go into this here. So we've been, as I just said, with Jesus, Matthew 24:25. We're coming now to Peter as he's inspired, speaking by the Holy Spirit of God about the second coming of Christ. I read in a commentary just this week as I was working through this, it said there are 260 chapters in the New Testament. I didn't count to verify. I'm sure he's correct. 260 chapters in the New Testament, and there are 300 references to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Pretty important, I'd say. And it is very, very important. So why is Peter teaching on this? Why is he preaching on this in his letter? Well, it's because there's these false teachers that were coming in, say, into the churches there, saying that Jesus is not coming back. It's been too long. Yeah, you know how long they waited at this point when 2 Peter was written? 30 years since Jesus was resurrected. 30 years. And they're saying, he's not coming back. It's not true. Boy, quite something. Why would Satan, he's behind all the false teachers, why would he work so hard and still does to deny the second coming of Christ? There's many reasons for sure, but one is, should be the second coming of Jesus should be a huge motivator in our individual lives to live for him. It should be a huge motivator of joy in our hearts, knowing that he's coming back. If you believe that Jesus was born as a baby, as we all do, I mean, it's a historical fact, then why wouldn't we believe the rest of the story? It just goes together. So it is a motivator. And the other part why Satan works so hard with these false teachers is because he knows that when Jesus returns, he's done for. He is done for. He knows it. So that's also. So 3 points in here. Peter, he's actually sort of in an argument here with these false teachers, and he's proving his case. 3 points, proving that Jesus is coming again. Number one, if you're working on your outline there, most important, from Scripture. From Scripture, that's where we go to first, right? Listen to the verse 1 and 2 again. Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. Well, it's obvious the first letter was 1 Peter, right? We're in 2 Peter. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Wholesome thinking, healthy thinking. These false teachers were coming in, bringing unwholesome thinking, bad ideas. They were hurting and hindering the faith of these new Christians. What? He's not coming back? What do you mean? Oh, we've been told all this time. He said he is. So wholesome thinking. And then he goes on, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior, that's all the word, through your apostles. So in that, letter A, let's talk about it. That phrase, I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets. That's from the Old Testament prophets, the first part of that. Old Testament prophets, he's going back to that. I have 3 references there in your outline. There's many more Old Testament references telling us Jesus is coming back. The second time. You can look up, I'm only going to read a line out of them, but you can look them up later. You'll see each of them speak about the fire, the destruction, the judgment that's coming after his second coming. The first one in Isaiah 13, see, the day of the Lord, that's his second coming, is coming. Malachi 4, surely the day is coming. Let's back up a second. Isaiah, written 600 years before Bethlehem, Malachi 400 years before Bethlehem, Zechariah 500 years before Jesus born in Bethlehem. Listen to this one. I'm going to read a little more of it. On that day, we're waiting for that day. It has not happened yet. This is the second coming. I say this often. It's different than the rapture of the church. And this is a verse that shows the difference. The rapture, Jesus is coming in the clouds. We who are alive on the earth and remain will be caught up together in to meet him in the air. He's not actually going to physically plant his feet on the earth at the rapture. Christians will all be taken out in a moment. Then comes the 7 years of tribulation. Then comes this Zechariah 17:4 right here. On that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. For you that have been there, it just sort of gives me some goosebumps knowing that you've been there and you've seen this place. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives east of Jerusalem, east, and the Mount of Olives will be split in two from east to west, forming a great valley with half of the mountain moving north and half of it moving south. Well, all right. I know, I was going through this in my head in the office. Okay, it's going to be split from east to west. There we go. No, east to west. Half's going north, half's going south. I do know my directions. That's going to be a miracle, isn't it? With a great valley, forming a great valley. And I've jumped down to verse 9 there in Zechariah 14. I love this. It says, and the Lord Jesus will be king over the whole earth. And on that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. It is not, all the false religions are false, and it's not all these different ways to heaven that seems to be the popular thing now that you hear about. It's not. There is nowhere in God's word that gives any hint of that there is. Even this, speaking of the second coming, one Lord and his name, the only name, period. End of subject, right? Letter B. How about, okay, that was from the Old Testament prophets. Then he says in the verse 2, and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. That is, so letter B, your blank is apostles there. From Christ and the apostles, scripture. That's how he's proving this point. That's number one way we stand. There are 27 books in the New Testament. 23 of the 27 talk about the second coming of Jesus Christ. All but four. And those are, I think I put it in there, Philemon, Galatians, 2 John, 3 John, that don't. 23 of them out of 27 do. I think when we talk about the second coming of Christ and the scoffers and all this, one of the reasons that as non-believers certainly don't like hearing about it is because then that means there is going to be some accountability to their life. When they stand before their Maker on Judgment Day, there is going to have to be an answer given. And people that are fine with their sin and the ungodly lifestyle and all that we see around us and all that has always been, they don't like hearing that. Because they say, I'm going to live how I want to live and I'm going to do what I want to do and I don't believe in that stuff. So what do I have to worry about? Well, they got a lot of worry about, a lot to worry about. There was just the news this week. I'm not going to say what it was about, but they were talking about a situation saying, you know, if you don't do such and such a thing, you're playing with fire. And I was having my lunch. Sometimes when I'm by myself, I'll answer back the news guy. I said, why don't you say if you don't believe in Jesus Christ's second coming, you're playing with fire. Right? That's what ought to be the message. We are excited about the second coming of Christ. So he's tying in that second verse, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament, the apostles, and they all line up in agreement. Jesus is coming back. Number two, he goes into history then. History, the Bible is absolutely historically accurate. Can be proven over that way again and again. It's very accurate. Verse 3 of 2 Peter, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. Scoffing, the adults should all know, but maybe the kids not. Just mocking, making fun of it. Scoffers will come, following their own evil desires. Listen to the new living of that. There will be scoffers who laugh at the truth, and they will do every evil thing that they desire. Going back to NIV, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our fathers died, that's going all the way back to Adam and Eve, that phrase, and all the way up. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. Not true. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, not by evolution, not by all that other garbage that man comes up with, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Well, you know what that's talking, right? The flood, Noah's flood. Yes, so the scoffers, they're saying, you know what, there's not going to be a second coming. We don't believe it. Because since the beginning of creation, everything just goes on as it has. They're saying, there's never been a catastrophe. There's never been a catastrophic event. Wrong, he's saying, but they deliberately forget this. On purpose. You deliberately forget on purpose. I don't want to hear about it. Oh, there was never a flood. People try to talk about against that to disprove it. No, it was just a flood over at the world at that time. It couldn't have covered the entire planet. It did cover the entire planet, didn't it? Yes. So if your letter A and B under this one, they close their minds to creation by God's word. Second, they close their minds to Noah's flood. They deny it. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The first time the earth was destroyed, I'm on it, everything on it, by the flood. But listen to verse 7 of this chapter 3. By that same word, that is the word of God. By that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire. Fire, that's your blank. Being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I have to think of Milo every time I read that verse, because we often talked about it together. He'd say, you know how the world's going to be destroyed the second time, Pastor Mike, don't you? By fire. That's right, by fire. How is that going to happen? Well, we don't know all of it, but when the flood came, we know it came from above, the rain. It came from within, the fountains of the deep within the earth burst forth. Okay, what about from above? Yeah, when this happens, I mean, it's going to be catastrophic. The sun, the planets are all going to be burning out. Well, they are burning out already, but they could all come crashing down on the planet, couldn't they? Maybe all the space junk. I was thinking here, just what, a month or so ago, we heard in the news how Russia sent a satellite up or whatever it was to blow up one of their satellites, and then they had all the space junk flying around, and they had to have emergency session on the space station. Get into your emergency positions, because the junk is coming your way in outer space. It could come. Could it come from a nuclear holocaust? Could. It could come from within the earth too. Listen to this. I just read this. I thought it was so interesting. The core of the earth is filled with fire. The temperature is 12,400 degrees Fahrenheit. Can you imagine? And there is a thin 10-mile crust that separates us from it in the center of the earth. Every once in a while, it belches out, and we see what the fire is like. And what do we call that? Volcano. Right? Where was my spot? That is hot enough to melt everything. The highest melting point of any metal known to man, anyway, at this time, is 6,500 degrees. 12,400 degrees will melt anything. Isn't that something? That's how the flood came. So, but what about that? Destroyed with fire? Why does God want to destroy it all with fire? So we can have the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem and all of that to come, which will be glorious. Third point, from eternity. From eternity. Okay, this is God's perspective now on the whole matter, Peter's saying. I told you from Scripture, it's happening. Telling you from history, which those verses go into, it's going to happen. Let's look at God's perspective on this whole thing, which really is Scripture. But let's take this angle. Verse 8, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. All right. So, we've been waiting 2,000 years, right? So if you look at that, and God's not using that as an exact timetable. The gist of it, God's saying, my time is not your time at all. But he's just making that comparison, okay? So if we look at it that way, it's been basically 2 days since Jesus resurrected and went back to heaven. 2 days. So I was thinking, all right, if 2 Peter was written 30 years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what's the time frame of that? I tried to figure it out, and then I was second-guessing myself, so I had to call my mechanical engineer son-in-law. Hey, am I figuring this out right or not? So, yeah, 3/4 of an hour. That 30 years. Did I say 30 years before? 30 years from when Jesus raised from the dead to when 2 Peter was written, and they were like, he's not coming, it's been too long. In God's timetable, so to speak, they had waited 3/4 of an hour. And we've waited 2 days, so to speak. It could be any day. Yes, it could. How about in the days of Noah? It says God is patient with you. There's a verse in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And the whole time he was preaching, repent, destruction's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And it did. Only 8 were saved. Did God provide a way of salvation and safety for whoever would respond? He did. Only 8 responded. How about this? God is not willing that any should perish. Oh, okay. Well then, hey, that must mean everybody's going to heaven. I wish it were the case. Let's think of it like this. God has provided the way through Jesus Christ. We're going to celebrate that here in a couple minutes. We know that. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have eternal life. Verse 18, which we don't hear quoted, but talks about the condemnation that has come already because those did not believe. So let's say, parents, I don't know how many of you are still raising your kids if you give them allowance or not. But though, let's say you do, all right? What do you think 50 cents for feeding the pigs is enough? I'm not going to answer. Okay. Okay, so the parents, you say to your kids, all right, these are your chores. If you do this, this is our will and our desire for you. You will get $10, about better than 50 cents. Okay, oh, yeah, Dad. Thanks, Mom. So let's say the week goes on. That's Mom and Dad's will for the kids. The week goes on. They don't even do a fourth of the chores. And they come, can I have my allowance? No. No, you said, I said, if you do it, you will get it. So it's saying, this God is not willing that any should perish. He's put it out there. But not everybody's going to believe. Right? Not everybody is. Sad to say. But the day of the Lord will come, verse 10. It will come. As we finish this up, and next week I'm going on in verse 11 because then that speaks. The question is, since everything is going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And he gives the answer, and we'll look at that next week. Jesus paid such an incredible price for our salvation, and we get to celebrate that today during Advent. I love having communion during Advent. To me, it's all the more special. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you tell us again and again and again to be ready, to watch, to be prepared, and help us to do so. Lord, we do believe. That's why we're here in this sanctuary this morning, gathered to worship you. And as we come to this table, we know it's a time to examine our hearts, and we do so now, and we will do in prayer together. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. The consistory would go to the back and prepare to help. For all, then, we have a prayer of confession because God's word does tell us in Corinthians that we are to examine our hearts before we come to the Lord's table. So we need to do this, not just at communion, but every day of our lives. If you want to put that up there, please, Caleb, and let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I come to you during this season of Advent to give thanks to you for the indescribable gift that you have given to me, the gift of salvation through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. I confess my sin to you now, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you for taking the wrath of God in my place. Help me to live a holy and godly life as I look forward to your second coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd come, please. As I said when we began, we do have open communion. With our young kids and youth, we encourage them to wait till they've been confirmed, eighth grade, so they have a full understanding, better understanding of what we are doing here today. When we come to the wine, it's the inside row is grape juice. The other two rows contain the wine. Let me pray once more. Heavenly Father, thank you for this sacred, powerful, very special time in our service. As we pause to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, you clothed yourself in frail humanity. You came to this dark world to be the light for us, and now you live through us. And so, Father, as I pray over these elements, this bread that represents your body, this wine and this juice that represents the blood that you shed on that cross, let these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose, I pray, and bring healing to all here spiritually first, emotionally, physically, whatever it might be. This do we do in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll hold the bread together to wait and take it together. Thank you. If you'd like to sing along, we'll sing number 10, Here I Am to Worship. It speaks of Jesus' birth. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's take the bread together. Lord Jesus, you are altogether lovely. You are altogether worthy. You are altogether wonderful. As your name is, the Wonderful Counselor, the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, Thank you for the cross. Thank you for hanging there in our place, the whippings, the beatings, the nails through your hands, and through your feet, the crown of thorns upon your head. We cannot even imagine physically, but even worse than that was spiritually, as you took the wrath of God upon yourself. Thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, the innermost ring is the grape juice. We'll sing a communion hymn for Christmas. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's take the cup together. Thank you, Jesus. As we've looked the last 3 weeks in your word, waiting, excited for your second coming, so we do. All the more, as you said, even when you instituted this sacrament. Thank you for the blood that you shed on the cross, for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the blood, your blood, that still speaks today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, consistory, for your help. Amen. We'll stand for our closing hymn here, number 277, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, 277. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. Let me pray for the meal for the children and helpers. Father, thank you again for the service. Thank you for the program practice. And for Christmas Eve coming so soon, we're excited for it all. So bless the food that's been prepared for all those that brought parts of this meal. We thank you as we all work together, and especially those coordinating the cooking of it and serving of it. For the program practice itself, Lord, that's gone so well the last 2 weeks, and we thank you for that, and we trust the same today. Thank you for health throughout this congregation. From our children and youth all the way up. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Marina. Thank you.